that I have the right glasses. No, they're the wrong ones. I notice I've been put in the block with the older people. Oh, yeah. You're in our generation, you know that. Can't even find my glasses. They're there somewhere, honestly. Thank you, Kim. He's great. Kim's a youngster. He found him. Well, what a beautiful place to be in. I don't know. I think I have been here before, but I don't remember. it was probably one of those things that Mike organized from, or Derek. Have we been here? A long time ago. But it was so full of meetings, we never got to see that place. You know, so. And Mike can't be with us Sunday because he's at a meeting. And he's the one that comes and preaches at us and says, "You want more meetings?" Mike, it's really nice to have you here. And Margaret, thank you. And is Margaret ministering tomorrow? Is it just you? Is it you? Don't we'll wait and see. Okay. Nev's, I spoke to Nev last night and said, "Nev, what are we speaking on?" And I got a few ideas. And Nev just said to me, "Making a difference." And in cell groups and around the church, we've been looking at this mission, vision statement that we're taking on as a church, building church to make a difference. And we can build church that doesn't make a difference, or we can make a slight difference outside of church. But if we want to make a huge impact, it's got to be with church, because as we've been learning, the church is the hope of the world. I just want to read a story that's well known to you. I'm not going to speak on it. It'll speak for itself. It's in Matthew chapter 25, and it's verse 1 to 12, and it's a story of 12 people who were, I think it was 12. That's interesting. I didn't realize it was 12. 12 people who were getting ready. 10. At that time, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25 and verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." There's an interesting little twist at the end of that story, and I want to illustrate perhaps that story a little bit by talking about three things tonight. You see, making a difference is about bringing about change. And how do we do that? And how do we prepare ourselves to make a difference and to bring about change? Pastor Cesar Castellanos, one of his quotes is, "If you don't change, nothing will change." And so often we expect things around us to change, or we maybe expect, as in our case, we expect LifeSpring to make a difference, but maybe I don't make a difference. LifeSpring together will make a difference, but maybe I don't. And the whole point of what we're trying to talk about in these little talks that we're doing in cell groups is that we actually own what we're all doing. So actually, we all change, we all make a difference, and together we make a huge difference in the society that we live in. So how do we do it, and how do we prepare ourselves? I want to give you three things tonight that are foundational for change. And these are, when I say foundational, some of these will be in your lives, some of these you may need to attend to, some of these you may not have attended to for a while and you need to attend to. But if we're going to be a people that changes the aura and spiritual aura of the town we're in and the people around us, there are foundational things that have to be in place. and their attitudes of heart, but they also have outworkings in themselves. These three things are commitment to the words of Jesus, commitment to the body of Jesus, and commitment to the spirit of Jesus. Now I want to read you a story. That sounds good, doesn't it? Somebody used to say that, but not in my generation. Thank you, Richard. I knew you'd know. Charlie and Joe had been best of friends since childhood. They had grown up together, schooled together, lived near each other, and their families had holidayed together. Now, both at the age of 20, they had decided to join the armed forces. Their country was at war, and both felt they had something to give to the war effort. Charlie had always had to do his utmost to keep up with the naturally talented Joe. Joe, on the other hand, was good-looking, physically talented, seemed to pass exams without even trying, and, annoyingly for Charlie, always had more money than he had. Still, they were best of mates, and were both excited at the prospect of joining up to give their best for their country. Basic training was a walk in the park for Joe, but for Charlie, each night, feeling muscles aching in places where he didn't think he had any. However, he was quietly chuffed at noticing how his body was shaping up, how much stronger he felt. After basic training, choosing the army seemed the obvious next step for the two young men, wanting to do their bit for their country. It was on the ground, where it was really at. This was the real war, and they both relished the prospect of being a part of it. Studying manuals from everything from rifles to anti-tank missiles, from safety in the mess tent to safety on the front line, consumed a lot of Charlie's time. Joe, on the other hand, breezed through a manual and preferred to be out in the evening fraternizing with the locals, especially of the opposite sex. Charlie preferred to be with the new friends he had made in his section, people who also wanted to do everything they could to help their fellow men. Charlie reveled in army life, as did Joe, but from a slightly different angle. Charlie was growing in every way stronger, more capable, clear in his mind on how to cope with pressure situations, skillful in managing people, and his commitment to his mission was stronger than ever. Joe reveled too, but he was using the army to further his own agenda, which was to be a hero in every era of life as he saw it. Then one day it happened, or early one morning to be more precise. At about 3 a.m., the alarms went off, summoning everyone to a strategic planning meeting. An emergency had occurred and a mission was to be launched immediately. Charlie, adrenaline coursing through him, was wide awake and ready to put to practice all he had learned. Joe, unfortunately, had only slid back to base an hour earlier and, to say the least, was a little worse for wear. Mission explained, they were off into the enemy zone to carry out the necessary undertakings to complete the task. Charlie felt he had joined up for such a time as this. Joe just felt sick and lethargic, and with very little to offer but the contents of his stomach, which made regular appearances. Charlie obeyed his seniors, took responsibility where necessary, and completed his task successfully. Joe may not have made it alive if it had not been for his faithful friend, who practically carried him through. Charlie was awarded a medal. Joe had to report to his seniors for putting the whole mission in jeopardy. I want to draw a few parallels from this story, and I've called it Making a Difference, because one of those guys made a bit of difference and the other didn't. One of them put things into his life and into his training that enabled him to be at the peak of fitness at the time he was needed. The other one didn't. You see, if we're committed to the words of Jesus and the body of Jesus and the spirit of Jesus, when God calls us to do something, we'll be ready to make an effect for Jesus. Charlie and Joe were both in the body. They both joined up. They were both a part of it. And you may have noticed Charlie studied the manuals. Joe flicked through them. You know, this isn't a take it or leave it manual. This isn't something we just flick through and keep for another day. This is the words of life. This is the words of God. This is the words of Jesus. It's not something that is just a book. It's more than a book. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. If you want to go into a fight, a spiritual fight, and you're not armed with this, you're going to fall down. You're going to get cut up. You're going to get hurt. This is our spiritual manual. And so many of us take it or leave it. I don't feel like it. I haven't got time for it. It doesn't do anything for me. You know, Joe was in that army for what it did for him. Charlie was in there for what he could do for it. And there's a difference there. And this isn't just for what we can get out of it. This is for what we can get from it by plowing through it, by studying it, and by making it a part of our lives. It will build wisdom and knowledge and strength into your life. And it's not, you know, God wants to speak to us. And so many of us, you know, one of the biggest problems Christians have, I don't hear the word of God. It's written down here. We can hear it. It's here. We've only got to dip in there, and it's there. And you might go days without hearing nothing, but if God spoke to you once a week through it and spoke to you clearly, I think you'd be pretty chuffed. But it's in there. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to know his will and his way, and it's in there. And we need to commit ourselves to this. It's full of truth. It's full of knowledge. It's full of wisdom, and it's full of life. For whatever you want to do in life, it's there. And we need to honor it. We need to have faith in it. And by that, I mean, we need to expect it is what it is, that it's not just a book, it's actually alive, and it's full of powerful truth. That's what it is. And if you really believed that, you'd never leave it alone. You'd never go anywhere without it, because that's what it is. We need to commit ourselves to it, to have faith in it, to trust in it, for bringing life to our bodies, to our souls, and to our spirits, because that's what it does. It's not just a book, and we need to be committed to it. You'll notice that Charlie thoroughly enjoyed being around his new army friends, doing the same things. They were committed to a purpose, and he enjoyed being around them. Joe, on the other hand, was using that maybe to go out and look cool in his uniform and attract the girls and be with the guys and have a few drinks with the boys. And we can use church for so many different things. But again, if we come to church for what we can get out of it, we've missed it. It's for what we can put into it. And it's as we put in, we get more out. And the body of Christ isn't something we can just take or leave. We're talking about the body of Jesus Christ. It's very special. It's very precious to him. And we need to put everything into that we can and be committed to it, honor it, have faith in it, trust in it. You know, one of the sayings that is on our website, I believe, or I think it is that we believe the church is the hope of the world. It is. You know, the David Cameron and Nick Clegg are probably going to do some, hopefully, some good things. But they're not the answer. The church is the answer because Jesus is the answer and he's invested his power in the church. That's why we commit to it. That's why we're part of it. That's why we want to be committed to it. You're greatly affected by the community of people you choose to spend time with. Charlie, who was weak, became strong. Joe, who was strong, became weak. And that's what happens to us if we don't commit ourselves to the body of Christ. Honor, have faith. It's the hope of the world. And finally, there came a time when the mission was read out. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. You never know when the Holy Spirit's going to call. You never know when he's going to come and want to give you a mission and to empower you. And you know, we need to honor the Holy Spirit. Naturally, we can do what? Naturally, we get tired trying. Supernaturally, we can do everything God wants us to do, and we'll get the medals because we'll do it to perfection, because it's the Holy Spirit in us doing it. And we need to honor the Holy Spirit and give time to the Holy Spirit because he's so special. The Holy Spirit gives us we need to give him every opportunity to fill us. Thank you, Mark, for singing probably what we know as Rob's song. Spirit, come. Every time we sing something like that, just expect to receive. Because when you're out in the world, you're going to need that because it flows out of you and flows out of you and flows out of you. And there's nothing in there to flow out. It won't flow out of you and it won't flow out of you and it won't flow out of you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to honor the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't got enough, ask for more. See, the virgins hadn't got enough oil. It was too late for them, but we're not in that situation. We're at the time before the bridegroom has come. And he wants us to ask. Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 11 to 13, and I'll close with this. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's humbling to ask. It's humbling to need. But God wants us to be a humble people. He wants us to ask. He wants us to receive his Holy Spirit. He wants us to be full of his Holy Spirit. And it's like the adrenaline coursing through our spiritual veins. It'll give us the energy. It won't matter what time of the day it is, what time of the night it is, the Holy Spirit will be that which is coursing through us. Give every opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep receiving him. So we need to be committed to his word, committed to his body, and committed to his Holy Spirit. And with those foundations in place, there will be preparation continually going on in our lives for when Jesus calls us to do what he wants us to do. And we'll be ready. And we'll conquer. And we'll do the things he's called us to do. Amen.